you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Dude, the thing is, you can just pee in a fish tank and it doesn't matter. Yeah, people pee in the ocean and all the fish live. People pee in the rivers and all the fish live.
A fish tank is the amount, though. I'd be like dumping like truckloads of piss into a river.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't see any fish having weird abnormalities, even in a small pond. You know, a lot of people, you know, say you throw a dog into a pool. You know, kids have been pooping and peeing in that shit. Nothing happens to the dog. The dog's fine.
Kids have been pooping in the pool.
Kids poop in the pool all the time.
Yeah, but they shut the pool down when kids do that.
Ah, that's if they catch the poop.
Does it just sink to the bottom?
It can spread and become powder in the corner, and then eventually
powder.
Like a powdery. You never seen poop in a pool?
I haven't. No.
Never seen someone poop in a pool before?
I've never seen someone poop in a pool.
It's a sight.
Have you? You've seen someone poop in a pool?
Yeah.
Have you been the one to do it?
No.
I remember they.
It was gross.
My neighborhood pool growing up.
We all went zoop.
They had to shut it down a bunch.
Yeah.
At least every summer, at least three different times, someone would shit in the pool and they would have to close it down. And then one time a grown-ass man threw up in the pool because he was drunk, and they shut it down for like a week.
Poor guy.
I know.
At least he got it out of his system. Well,
I know.
With that, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Super Megacast, episode 189.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, buddy. Getting up there to 200 soon.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Almost at 300. We got to do something special for 200.
Do we?
People have been DMing me lately about, like...
Apparently there was some story about Jim putting beer
in, I think it's the Budweiser
swim
story.
Trunks. But I think there was like, I told the truth and then like there was a joke I added that was fake that people thought was real. I don't know.
Okay, so here's
the thing. I'm always confused about stuff that we have to remember.
We said this shit so long ago.
Like,
so,
like the 50 states.
I don't know where the fuck. Sorry.
Are you done with that mint?
I'm getting done with it.
Okay.
It was bothering me.
Almost done.
Sorry,
now drink some. Have some water. It's gonna feel cool going down.
Oh, this ain't water.
Oh, what is it? What is that?
A little vodka tonic.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
What?
Vodka tonic.
You drinking on the job? Do we have any water here?
Nope.
Our refrigerator dispenses water. Doesn't
it? It does. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Find wherever we said what we're going to tell for the 200th episode.
I ain't doing it.
Link it to us so I can at least go back and see what we promised.
I think it's, as I said, I think it's a lie. I promised a lie.
No, it's definitely a lie.
Yeah.
I just want to know what the lie is.
So I can further expound upon that lie.
People were real mad about the petroleum jelly story.
They were. I forgot they were legitimately disappointed.
There are some people that were legitimately pissed off.
In my head, I was just kind of like, they actually expected there to be a petroleum jelly story.
Because the whole thing was a joke to start. I was trying to like.
That's the trouble with us. A lot of the times people say it's, you know.
They can't tell if we're joking or not.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, that makes it funnier to me because
I know a majority of the people will be like, oh, of course there's not a fucking petroleum jelly story. And then the people who think, you know, I mean, it is a large portion, it seems. Yeah. I guess a very vocal minority, it seems. But.
Well, I was just, for those who don't know, on episode 100 of the podcast, we had promised we would tell Ryan's famous petroleum jelly story. And that really originated from some earlier episode than 100. I was just trying to put Ryan on the spot, and I was like, tell the story with your mom and the petroleum jelly. And I just wanted to see what he would come up with. And he was like, no, that's a big story. We'll save that. And I was like, all right, you tell that on episode 100. It's a big story.
I and know'd you.
Yeah, you and know'd me. And then people really latched on to the petroleum jelly story. Sharp.
Dude, I've been last night we were watching some movies. I have some gas recently.
Dude, I had a blast watching those movies with you and listening to your very vocal flatulence.
I got to go back and watch that French movie.
I was thinking about that this morning. We started it, but
it looked really good, and I think it was kind of just like a very loose narrative, Bonnie and Clyde themed, but you know, very artistic, and the shots were very beautiful. And I can see why it's a film that people like. I forgot the director's name.
It's a French, one of the most famous French directors ever. Godyard, something like that. But we started watching it. But the problem is when you're hanging out with your friends, and you don't see each other that often because of quarantine, paying attention to a foreign movie with subtitles is tricky.
I know. I was like, this is an interesting movie to put on. The wailing I paid attention to all the way through, you did have to go
I missed the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, this was like a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago or so. But I feel like the movies to watch where it just everything's right when we're watching it is like Bruno, Borat, you know, shit like that.
You don't really gotta get deep into it.
Yeah.
Because there's movies to watch where you can joke around with your friends, and there's movies to watch where everyone just kinda has to shut up and pay attention. We did watch Veronica. Was that what it is?
Yep. Because Red Letter Media is another YouTube channel that do movie reviews. And they're, you know, famously out of kind of like the circle of influencer in terms of they're just doing their own thing. They're not like, you know, within the YouTube entertainment circle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they uploaded a review of Veronica, and, you know, Harrison and I watch, I guess, Red Letter Media somewhat religiously, because him and I were both like, oh shit, remember that movie that they were talking about? Let's watch it, type of thing.
It was a bad movie.
Yeah, it was very bad. And it was so bad, in fact, because it's three separate short films in one movie. And the last one is just a chore to get through.
It was horrible. We skipped a little bit of it. We just like skipped here and there.
Yeah.
It's by the singer, the lead singer from the Misfits decided he was going to make not the podcast. Lead singer from the band The Misfits decided to make a movie, and it's really bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. There was so many tits in that movie.
Yes.
Unbelievable amount of
breasts. Which was great.
Oh, it was pretty easy for me to get through.
For my straight masculine brain.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
You know?
Well, before the movie started, I was a little worried I was gay, and then I started
exactly
seeing all those tits on
well,
screen.
Well, it wasn't the breast that did it. It's like once I saw a nipple, I was like, a nipple on a girl is what turns me on.
Yeah.
Because at first they had, you know, seen a nipple on a guy, you're like, oh, that's a nipple.
You're like, am I turned on by that?
The girls have nipples. When I see a guy's nipple, that's, is he showing me a part of him that, like, he would be cautious to otherwise? But no, I'm good. Nipples are different.
Very nice. You know,
very nice.
Yeah, we're on the same page. That's good. Yeah. I actually shit myself during that movie.
You did. I remember that. I feel like I was a bad influence because I was farting a good bit. And you know me and my farts, it's probably contagious. You want to join
it
in.
It makes the whole room laugh. I was getting a little jealous. You know, I was like, oh, well, I'm going to step it up a notch. I'm going to shit my fucking pants.
You did. I remember you went in there, oh, I think I shit my pants a little. And then you came back, you're like, no, it was a lot. You shit your pants a lot. You're like, I had to go clean myself up. You came back in your underwear.
It was not the same
You had
same
to go
pair.
Clean yourself up and shit.
Well, I'm glad you were there to witness it, because I feel like I shit my pants and tell these stories so much that
you've shit your pants in my presence so many times. Remember,
yeah, like,
the classic Grumps office debacle where we had food on the way and I had to make it to our apartment in time to get you a change of underwear before the food arrived, and you would have to get the food delivered and handed to you while you had no underwear.
That would have been a good mission in like the Super Mega video game.
Yeah.
It's like a race against time where you have to run back.
I hate timed missions in video games, though. They're the bane of most fun.
Well, that's essentially what you were doing in real life.
Yeah.
Time missions do suck, depending on.
You gotta go. It did seem like a video game. Gotta go find Matt's underwear. Find this collectible.
Bring me a clean pair, which I really didn't have many of. You had to kind of just go through the clothes on my floor and bring me back something. But you did. And I am forever grateful.
And Veronica and what was that movie called? The French one? Something. Other than that, we did watch something else.
Oh, yeah.
Which last week on the podcast, I had not seen a single episode except for that one time you showed me the first episode. Yeah. But I went back and I had to rewatch the first episode to kind of get it. But I hadn't seen the first episode of the Chris Chan documentary you were talking about. Or I had only seen the first episode thanks to you because you were over at my place late one night, like about a month, 2 months ago or something like that. It was a bit. But so I started watching the documentary, and within like 3 days, I had watched all 34 parts.
Which
and,
blew me away because it's taken me like half a year.
Really?
And since the last podcast, you have gone and watched every single episode.
And I'm proud of myself because when we were all having conversations about the documentary, because y'all have seen it, I was able to hold my own.
Oh,
so
you
I
knew
wasn't,
everything.
I didn't cheat.
And you know more than me, actually, because
it's so fresh.
Yeah, it's
in
so
my
fresh.
Mind.
And I've spaced out the watching of it. Yeah. So, you fucking, I'm so proud of you. And we watched the new part 35
the
just dropped last
night. The next episode's going to be big. Episode 36 going to be.
Oh, it's going to be huge.
A massive episode.
It's going to be a tragedy.
And I the reason I think I stuck with the series so long is because I do find a lot of it really grotesque. You know, just the subject matter. And like when you look at it, when you really just kind of step away from it. You know, he's a very funny guy. Homosexual. I'm straight.
Damn it.
All of that, like, it gets you to laugh, but like when you think about it, it's really just like this delusional autistic man or now woman. They are just struggling to grasp reality, and at every turn,
and failing.
They fail at every turn. And you see, there's just a lot of abuse that they go through at home and throughout their social life, but. There's also these weird things where it's like, yeah, but he was sexually harassing the only real friend they had at the time over and over and over again after she specifically would tell them to stop touching them because they don't see it as flirtatious. They see it as sexual harassment. They're probably over 10 emails telling Chris to stop sexually harassing them.
Yeah.
Giving them a
chance. And she's like, you just don't get it. Stop. Yeah. And it is sad because I do feel bad for Chris Chan.
But at the root of tragedy is comedy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
So,
you know, it really is a tragic comedy or a comedic tragedy.
I went recently to Christine's channel and... Mm-hmm.
Quickville Guardian?
The most recent one I skimmed through was like, I think it was Red versus Blue season one reaction or something. It was a long fucking video. They were reacting to Red versus Blue, the machinima made by Rooster Teeth.
Which I'm sure that, did you watch it? Because I know you
when I was
Red
young, I
Blue.
Watched it. I couldn't watch. Well, they were just looking at the screen and smiling, and their kind of like their mouth was a little moist. And I was like, I'm just not in the mood.
maybe later.
But seeing Barb scares the shit out of me now. Seeing what happened.
Oh my
with Barb.
God, Christian's mom is decrepit. The crypt keeper. She is old, senile. She's on the brink of death, pretty much.
It's weird because you'll notice like this weird cyclical kind of event when you look at it because, you know, Chris having autism, even though they are self-described high-functioning autistic.
I think autism is almost the least of their problems.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, what I'm saying is like someone with this mental disability was not parented well. They were mentally abused. I would say even sometimes it sounds like they were physically abused. When you hear about Barb forcing like cutting
their hair.
Yeah. But I'm talking about like early life. Like their developmental stages were, you know, being raised by a racist as such as his parents and
just bad parents.
that didn't give them the opportunity and like didn't really look out for them the best. Like the parents were really bad in this situation because I think Chris at the end of the day is like a very creative individual.
Yeah.
But that outlet just was just put on the wrong path. And I think it was possible for Chris to be put on the right path if the parenting was better, if everything, you know, in a perfect world. But that we do not live in that world. And
no.
I think it's too far gone at this point, sadly.
And what I wonder is, I wonder what's going to happen when Barb dies. Because when Barb dies, you know, she's the one paying the bills. She's the one that, you know, like Christine's not going to be able to stay in the house.
Yeah. And for those who don't, though, most people have to know who Chris Chan is.
Most people know who
But for
Chris
those
Chan
who
is.
Don't know who Chris Chan is, I think, Matt, you would do a better job at kind of just giving a quick kind of summary.
Chris Chan is a highly autistic and...
High-functioning autistic.
High-functioning autistic and is famous, very famous, because from a pretty young age, they started documenting themselves online and posting comics they made, which their flagship, their big claim to fame is they created a comic book called Sonichu, which is a mix...
The character in general, Sonichu.
Yeah. It's Pikachu mixed with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
The electric hedgehog type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And the comics were, you know, people found them and started trolling Chris. And then when they discovered they could get a really good reaction, and no matter what the trolls did, Chris would always respond exactly the way the trolls wanted.
It's every time, we're on episode 35 of this documentary. You can watch it. Gino Samuel.
Incredible dude.
I commend them for making this in a way where there really is no bias.
It's really just presenting in the narrative voice.
Some people that I've talked to have had a problem in terms of like, well, do you feel like Gino Samuel should show somewhat compassion for the situation that's presented? I'm like, I honestly don't feel like any bias should be showed. I like the fact that it's just like the documentary is Chris then does this and then shows you
it's
the video.
It's just literally documenting, because there's so much documentation of Chris online. It's literally just documenting.
Yeah.
Like in a concise, I don't know if I call it concise, but in a like a solid documentary.
It's really good, and Matt recommended it last podcast. Now since I've binge watched it all, I can second that and say that it's definitely worth a watch. There are times where you can even put it at double speed if you want. There are times, you know, it's not something where you can be looking at your phone while watching.
It's so good to have in the background.
Yeah,
it's just fascinating. It's sad. It's sad. It's funny. It's fascinating. It's just interesting. And the documentary still has almost a whole decade to catch up to current day. And Chris
there's a lot
Chan
of stuff
going
to happen.
On.
There's a lot of stuff to still happen.
I follow Christine on Twitter. I have notifications on for her YouTube channel. And I try to follow what's going on now. But there's a lot in between that I don't know because I don't want to spoil it when I watch the documentary.
What would you say is kind of your, for lack of a better word, that's not coming to mind, but your favorite saga of the docuseries so far?
Huh. There's a lot of really good ones. I really like Liquid Chris. Liquid Chris was fun.
Yeah. Asperchu, I think, is mine.
Asperchu is really funny. The Asperger's type Pokemon.
Yeah. I like, of course, like there's a lot of stuff problematic in the trolling, but I do feel for some reason that when I was watching the Asperchu saga, Alec, the person behind it, talked to Chris like they were, like he was just a regular person other than like everybody else who kind of just was trying to always get a reaction. I'm not saying that Alec wasn't, but Alec did it in a way where it was like, Chris, you're being very, what's the word when it's
naive?
Not naive, because Chris hates that word.
Yeah, I know.
You're being very hypocritical in the way you kind of go about things. And I like the fact that he was in a sense trying to talk and kind of, he took Chris's narrative, like of this kind of because Chris thinks he's kind of a mogul of Sonichu. He's making these moves, you know, with Nintendo. He unfortunately, you know, he left Miyamoto, poor Miyamoto, out in the rain for two straight days.
The Miyamoto saga.
But so I think Alec met him at that level in terms of someone who also has this fake persona that was Asperchu, and then kind of fighting Chris on the same level playing field in terms of like, okay, you're going to see it as a business, then I'm going to treat it as a, I'm going to respect it in itself as a business, but like, I'm going to also point out the hypocrisies that you have when it comes to just, it's like, well, Chris, you're mad at me creating Asperchu, but Sonichu is literally Sonic and Pikachu combined. Like, I don't see how you can be mad at me, quote unquote, copying you when you're the one who copied other well-known characters in the... Yep, exactly. And then I'll respond to the sigh.
The sighs are the fucking best part.
And I love where he calls him out. He's like, Chris, you know, you called me naive. And I don't think that's an insult. But the problem is that you think it's so bad. And like, Chris, the thing is, Chris thinks that he can get things by, you know, without people noticing. Mm-hmm. But I think because of... You know,
like when he tries to disguise himself, but it's so clearly.
Well, he puts
him.
On Groucho Marx glasses to disguise. That I called you, and I was laughing my ass.
It's still in the same bedroom.
Yep.
And there's no mistaking that bedroom for another bedroom. One time, that bedroom is.
He puts like a rag over his face.
Yeah, he puts just a blue shirt. But like the body is unmistakable.
Yeah,
and that bedroom is Chris Chan's bedroom is basically. Imagine. If you like to draw pictures and make Lego characters and stuff as a kid, if every single one of those was saved and then put up on your wall, and then times that times four, that's the bedroom.
Yeah.
It probably does not smell very good in there.
No. Well, there's parts of the documentary where like some people are like, hey, Chris, I think you should make yourself food. He's like, there's too much of a mess on the stove, and I wouldn't know where to put the stuff. There was one time where he told his mom, he's like, I don't know where to put my sex doll. Like, he's like, because he'd have to move his sex doll to get somewhere, and he doesn't know where he'd put it. And the mom's
it's a hoarder's house. Yeah, that's another problem.
Because his mom's a hoarder.
Barb's a hoarder and grew up in a hoarder's house. And it's sad because when his dad, a little bit of a spoiler, his dad passed away, but when he passed away, and took him to the hospital, he was like covered in like bed bug bites and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
So they definitely had bed bugs.
I think so. Or they had some sort of insect infestation that was biting him like crazy.
Jesus.
So he had to be like quarantined and stuff.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
It's really sad, though. You know, it's such a weird mixture of like tragedy and comedy, and it's just a spectacle, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like there's no one else out there that's had their life documented and their entire life online and have so much drama and action and comedy in it where it's just like, how is this real? Because that's what I think when I watch Chris Chan is I'm like, how is this real?
How did it get to this point? How did, how, like, there always has to be some sort of like crescendo, or there has to be some big climax, but there never is. It just always gets worse and worse and worse. There's never any buildup. And you think there is. All these big events happen like every year almost, but there's always something else to replace it the next year or even the next week.
He never learned, ever. No. Still to this day.
Well, the only friends he had a chance of making after Megan were people online. So he had to put his trust in the people online. And when he does that, when he continuously trusts anonymous people, which is his whole life, is where it's the trouble starts. And since he's never going to learn, I mean, right now he's begging for money, or they were begging for money. On like YouTube, they're using Barb. I got blankets. I can sell you blankets. My name is Barbara Chandler. And
are you dead? I am not dead.
Release me.
He has to do that more flirtingly. Oh man. But yeah, we just got to the part.
She seems like a hostage in Chris's like mental world.
Oh yeah. She is. I mean,
before he was the hostage.
I don't imagine she's too happy in life right now.
There's nothing anybody can do, dude.
No, that fate's solidified. That fate's sealed. It's just wild. I recommend everyone look it up and research it. And it's very fascinating. It's a rabbit hole for sure.
Yes.
It's the biggest rabbit hole of any rabbit hole on the internet I can think of. And even still, this documentary is 35 parts, 40 minutes an episode, and we're still only in 2011.
I know.
So there's that much there.
There are certain, as you said, what are they called? Not hibernation periods, but what are they called?
Exiles. Where they leave the internet.
Well, I love how I think the second time Chris tries to leave the internet, they come back the next day because of the news of a voice actor change in the Cleveland show.
Of the voice of Roberta Tubbs.
Yeah.
It's changed. Did not like that. And I say he and stuff because I'm referencing
Chris,
old Chris.
Yeah, there's a lot of flip flopping. It's hard with Chris in terms of it's not hard to be respectful of someone. That's not what I'm saying, but it's hard to kind of pinpoint, like, I don't know, their reality is so far from our own. And you can even say, yeah, but there are people who think, you know, have spiritual beliefs and they're so different from yours that could be what do you deem as being not in our reality? And I would say when you believe that Lisa Simpson is going to replace Donald Trump in this big kind of merge of realities, and you think that you're
merge
in a polyamorous marriage with Sonic, I don't know who they're in a marriage with, but it's just
she is Sonichu.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I think she becomes Sonichu. Like their souls swap or something. I don't know. The whole dimensional, the current saga is all about, there's a dimensional merge that's going to take place between our dimension, which is dimension 1218, and then Sonichu's dimension, which is where all the fictional cartoon characters live. And there's going to be a big merge that I think a lot of people are going to die in, and then cartoons will enter the real world.
It's like Revelations.
That's essentially
like the rapture.
Yeah. So I'm very fascinated by this saga. And a lot of people think it's going to end with Christine dying.
Really?
And some people hypothesize that she's going to kill herself as like to bring about the merge.
Jesus, I hope not.
Yeah, no, that'd be very morbid. It's,
the thing is just hard to tell.
Because she's so mentally ill at this point.
It's hard. You can't even begin to hypothesize what is going on in that head.
No. And there's still no help. Like, nope. They're not receiving. They're almost 40.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And they're still spending all their money on like video games and shit.
Yeah. Just,
God damn, dude. I remember that they got Chris to break their PlayStation 3. Because the trolls were like, the troll known as Clyde Cash was like, I'll give you $9,000 if you get Chris to... $9,001 if you get him to break his PS3. And he did. And he's like, I did it. So where's the money? And then, of course, you're not going to get $9,000, dude. He's like, but in his world, he thought he was being smart because he's like, I'm going to break it. But then I can just buy another PS3 with the $9,000. It's like, oh.
So he goes to pick up the money at Charlottesville Fashion Square. and doesn't find anybody. And then he finds out, well, the troll said, wait, we did give you the money. You were wearing a brown shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And then Chris realizes
they
gave it to Liquid Chris instead.
Yeah.
Which is, they're creative. The trolls are, they're horrible, horrible people. But I get a laugh here and there.
But you realize they're bullying a 10-year-old. Like
they are, yeah.
An eternal 10-year-old.
That's a good way to describe it, an eternal 10-year-old.
And an eternal mentally ill 10-year-old.
Yeah. It's really punching down, like to the utmost degree.
Well, I think all the trolls, like there's not one troll, like you can be like, okay, they had fun with it, or okay, they tried, like how I said with Alec, but I think every one of the trolls they're complicit in the current state of Chris.
Yeah.
Every single one, even Liquid, even though people love that
saga.
The thing
is, I mean, you're toying with somebody's reality and emotions.
Yeah.
So, and not even just a little bit, like so hardcore to like, that's their entire life.
Yeah.
You know? And like you brought it up on the last podcast, the Gino Samuel says that like the trolls are literally the authors of his life. You know,
it was, I think that was in episode 30. He says that like at the end or something.
Like they decide what happens. They bring new characters in when they want. They kill characters off.
Yeah.
Like they controlled his life and they.
Because Chris
they still
lives,
do.
Because, you know, the trolls know this. And Gino pointed it out that Chris does live in a very binary world in terms of good versus evil because of the way, you know, look at the way they look at their comics. It's always like Chris versus this evil kind of villain. And the trolls know it's like, okay, so we just need to create a villain, or there needs to be some sort of antagonist to Chris.
Yeah.
So we can keep getting content. And there always has to be some sort of love interest to fight over. Because it seems like the dynamic is always, there is someone, like some antagonist to Chris, and then there's a love triangle with a girl.
Yes.
It's always that dynamic.
And he has to fight the guy for it.
And eventually the guy wins the girl.
Every time. Every time. It's the same formula. They just keep plugging in and nothing changes.
Yeah.
I think you asked me my favorite saga. I think early on, the one of the first ways he ever got trolled was people were calling him gay. And people quickly discovered that if you called Chris gay,
because of his father's homophobia is so instilled in him.
You could tell he really didn't like to be called gay, and he made all these videos proving he was straight. And that's really what kind of
I am straight. Now
I
stop
like
calling
vaginas.
Me gay. Pussy.
But and like the troll was like,
I have
the whole beginning troll shit is they're just basically calling him gay, and he's trying to prove that he's straight. And they make him jump through crazy hoops to prove that he's straight.
I have a little clip of Chris real quick of how straight he is. Here we go. Are you ready? Hold up.
I lick your pretty little click there. Tickle your pussy.
They're pussy.
That video, I can't, like, they get them to make so many videos. And then there's this one.
Oh, the belly dancing video?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, my favorite thing about the video where he's showing the girl what he would do to her pussy is he's wearing a tank top that has the Mountain Dew logo on it.
Mountain
Dew. It says
Mount
and Do Me, which is great.
People in the comments are like, does he not realize the, like, homosexual implications of that?
Oh man. Christine,
I could talk about this could be the Gino Samuel documentary of Chris Chan's podcast, where we could discuss each episode.
Oh, absolutely. And,
you know,
I
be wonderful.
Commentary on every episode. It's props to Gino Samuel. He's got a Patreon. Go check that out, because he just puts so much work into these.
Speaking of a series that you and I both love that is unfortunately coming to a long hiatus soon.
Super Mega.
Yeah. No, but Better Call Saul. The episode 10 of season 5 is airing in a few days. And by the time this podcast is out on YouTube, it will already been out. But I'm excited.
Can't wait.
I cannot express enough how good this show is. It is, I think, in my opinion, the best show on television currently.
Now there's The Walking Dead.
Since Breaking Bad.
There's The Walking Dead you're forgetting about.
No. I watched, are they on season like 13 or some
shit? Yeah, they're double digits at this point.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because, like, I dropped off at, like, season 5.
I dropped off at season 4.
I can't believe they've made it to season whatever it is. I guess it
somehow makes money still.
But Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul.
It's
beautiful.
Because you realize the show in of itself is in the same way. It's not what Breaking Bad was. It is a character study and to show the metamorphosis of a character over time. But in Better Call Saul, that happens over the course of so many seasons. And it's small, minute changes that lead to decisions that lead to more changes over time. Whereas Breaking Bad, well, you know, quote unquote breaks bad in the pilot episode, and it's very fast paced and it's a really good show and it's a great drama, crime, thriller. But Better Call Saul, narratively and stylistically, and it's just like after Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould had all their ducks in a row like how to really structure what they wanted in terms of tone and a narrative. And I think they've blown me away. They've knocked it out of the water.
Yeah, they blew my fucking socks off, my little piggies. It's fucking like, I am so excited for the season finale. I think this has been the best season so far, season 5. And there's only one more left, but Ryan and I are concerned because of coronavirus if they're going to postpone shooting the final season.
I know.
And there's some actors in that show. I don't know how much longer
they've got. There's some actors. There's definitely quite a few actors over the age of 50. I mean, Bob Odenkirk is, what, 60? Almost 60?
Yeah, I think so. Something around there.
And I read something. I don't know if it's true that his son had it or something. I don't know. Does Bob Odenkirk have a son?
I think he has kids. I think he has.
I'm not going to look it up. I don't want to spread rumors, even though I just did. Gotcha, Bob.
Gotcha, Bob, you fucking moron. I mean, Mike.
Dumbass.
Jonathan Banks, the guy that plays Mike, he's old. He's real old.
And I watch interviews with him, and I love him as an actor. He loves his craft. He respects his craft. But, like, he also seems not difficult to work with, but he doesn't mince words, too. Like, who he is as Mike is just kind of like take the real life. What's his name? I forgot it. I just had a. You just said it. The actor who plays Mike.
Jonathan Banks.
Jonathan Banks. Jonathan Banks. There's like a hint of like that grumpiness in his actual personality. And that's why it's just like casting decisions in this show are so good because you can always tell there's like a hint of visual truth to all the characters that are displayed there. Like, Howard, for example, you can look at each character and you can tell kind of what archetype they're fitting.
But yeah,
what's even greater is that they're not just that archetype. They're so much deeper. Like, you can look at a picture of Chuck and kind of like, oh, you know who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at Howard. You know who he is. You look at,
Jimmy.
Yeah, it's just, I could, as I said, even with the Christian thing, I could rant about this specific show all the time.
It's going to be a good episode. I've heard from actors.
Lalo viewers. I love the character. He's fun.
Fantastic. He's just such a good actor. That leap he did in the last episode where he jumped off the cliff onto the car.
They're just doubling down on that leap because I remember a lot of people, even me when it first happened, remember when he burst but there's an episode where he bursts through a roof and he comes down through the roof and it's very hard. And like, just the way he does it, you're just like, Jesus Christ. It's like this, am I still watching the show grounded in reality? Cause it doesn't seem real.
No. When he jumps on that car, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, damn, his legs took a shock there.
Like, whoever did that stunt.
Yeah.
Maybe it was actually him.
But it's not him.
That shit was, that would hurt. Basically, he jumps off a cliff onto an upside down car.
It's almost two stories up.
Yeah. He like, I was like, whoa.
Maybe a story and a half, let's say.
Still, it's a very long way to land on a car.
Yeah. Because he jumps up, it seems.
That shit would have absolutely destroyed my feet and my legs. It's a great show, though. I can't wait for the season finale. And I can't wait for the next season. And once again, we have to enter that period of waiting. It seems like when the season gets here, it goes so fast and then it's gone, you know? Oh, ladies and gentlemen. sounds fake, dude. It sounds like you put in a sound effect.
It's not fake.
No,
it's
I know
real.
It's not fake. It's the thing is, like, with that sound, I can visualize, like, what your asshole was doing. Like, I can exactly, like, see it. It's very visual. Oh, I didn't even bring it up yet. I this week, bored in quarantine, have decided to foster some kittens.
Mandy and her little litter.
5 minutes ago, there's motion on my kitten cam. So yeah, I set them up in my closet. She has five little baby.
Go on.
Five little Siamese.
No, please go on.
Five little baby Siamese kittens. And they're very cute.
They are.
They're only a couple days old. They haven't even opened their eyes yet.
I got to hold one.
I know. They're
so tiny, like little dwarf hamsters.
Yeah, they literally feel like hamsters right now. And they don't know what's going on.
Here,
they don't have their eyes open.
I'm going to play a video because I took a video of one and their mews are very here.
Oh my god, they're so little.
We're watching Chris Chan.
Oh, okay, that's what that is in the background. Okay, 5 minutes ago on my camera, she was laying down nursing, and one of them got out of the nest area.
Did she pick it back up?
No, it climbed back in under her leg.
Okay.
And then she laid her head down.
There's times where you showed me a video recently where she's like, I'm tired of these motherfuckers sucking on my titties. And then she gets up and just kind of goes and rests.
Yeah, but she gets up, but she kind of drags one out. She drags one of the kids out. Yeah. That's still hanging on. He's just like laying on his back. Like, what happened? Yeah. Well, I got very scared because last night she randomly went and took just one of the kittens out of.
We were watching it live on your, because you put your,
I put my Ring camera in the closet so I can just watch them. And whenever she leaves, I get a notification so I can like make sure it's all good.
Yeah.
But she just picks up one of the kittens and just takes it under my bed and just leaves it there. And under my bed, it's hardwood, it's cold, and kittens can't regulate their body temperature.
They need mama.
Yeah, so I was getting really scared because I had heard from people that sometimes the moms will take the runt and, like, just leave it to die. So I was like, oh, no.
Just slow down the pack.
I know. She's like, is she trying to kill this little guy? So I went in there, and I found her under the bed with him. And he wasn't, like, cuddling her. He was, like, next to her, just laying on the ground. And she was hissing at me because she still doesn't like me. She doesn't like anyone. She's very protective. So if you come in the room or close to her, she'll just go.
Yeah, I heard her kind of low grumble, growl.
It's like a warning. And if you get real close, she'll hiss. But I've broken the barrier a few times where she's a little sucker for treats. So if I put a treat in my hand and put it up close, like she'll keep growling, but then she'll eat it. She'll be like.
And then she'll continue to growl.
Yeah, and then she'll eat another treat. She pissed on my carpet and shit on my carpet, so I got to get rid of that carpet. She's learning how to use a litter box.
She's going to bury her children in the litter box.
Oh, God, I hope not. Luckily, she brought the kitten back like 15 minutes later. So I don't know what that was about. I was really scared she was going to maybe she took it over there because she wanted to move them to like a new safe area. And then when I showed up to see what was going on, she's like, oh, shit, this place isn't safe. Took it back. I don't know.
Sorry, I just had a thought come to mind because I was thinking of Harrison holding the kittens. And for some reason, then I started thinking about Harrison. Then I started thinking of the Tucker brothers.
Yeah, the Fucker brothers.
Yeah. They just need to start their own restaurant. You know why? Jackson wants to make drinks. He can make custom drinks, right? Harrison loves to cook. He makes delicious foods. And then Carson knows how to take pictures and videos so he could do the marketing and advertisement.
Carson can be the little businessman.
It's fucking perfect.
Damn. Tucker Bros Restaurante.
Except they'd make it a food truck. And come on.
They should do that. three brothers? Start a food truck?
That would be fun.
They should do that. I'm going to pitch that to them. Say it was
my idea. You should.
Guys, I had the best idea.
I mean, one likes drinks, one loves food, and the other is likes to make pictures happen. What happened?
Sorry, she's just leaving.
We're looking at the live stream of the Ring
Cam.
She
left the nest. Oh, she's eating some food right now?
Wait, we haven't seen if Wanda's still here.
Oh, yeah.
Should we go check on Wanda?
Let's go check
real quick.
Let's see.
Hey! What?
While we're gone, a little break.
Your mama.
I feel good.
Dad, are you singing to your cereal?
Yes, I am. Like I knew that I would.
No, a dance too?
Come on, Ava. Silk almond milk. Starts the morning on a high note.
Yow! Songs, dances, and dad jokes. Oh,
so good! So good! I got you!
Silk almond milk.
With calcium, vitamins A, D, and E.
Feel plenty good.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic scent. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code SPOTIFY10.
Hey, we got a big update.
Oh, huge.
We just went outside and Wanda was not there.
No, but in her place, two, I would say, adolescent looking
little doves.
Little doves.
Her little babies. Because we were wondering if she was sitting on eggs or something, but I guess she was. She was.
They have more than two babies. Don't birds have more than two babies?
There might be a third one in there underneath them, but we took a nice picture of them so you guys can see.
Yeah, send it to me so I can put it in.
That is cute.
We'll throw it up right here.
Yeah, it's up on the screen. They're cute little babies right there in the nest. And Wanda's gone. I don't know where she went, but maybe she's like, my work here is done.
I mean, why not? Hopefully they just don't sit there and starve.
Well, they're definitely old enough to, you know, fend for themselves now. They're kind of big.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can fly yet.
They definitely have all their feathers and shit. Wanda must have been sitting on them for a...
She was just sitting on them.
Yeah, for a good bit.
I mean, so many baby animals. I got kittens at home. I got baby praying mantises, orchid mantises.
Found a baby possum.
Baby possum. Now we have two little baby doves at the office.
Look at these little guys. They are tiny.
And you're thinking about getting a little buddy of your own.
Yeah, well, I'm looking into it. I'm going to see if it's possible. There's a certain type of fish I'd really like to get, but I need to do more research first. Because I love Lego, but there's something about quarantine that wants me to have, like, also just like a, maybe just, I've always had more than one pet growing up. I've always grown up with, I think the most pets I've ever had in a house, I had two dogs, two cats, a gerbil, two hamsters, a rabbit, and some fish.
Damn.
So that's the most I've, and I know there's
all
a lot of people.
Once.
Oh yeah, well I've had it. Yeah, all at once.
Damn.
And I know there's a lot of people who've had more than that, but I'm just saying, like, I'm used to just having pets and just having a bunch of animals to kind of look at and take care of and nurture and shit. I love cats, but they're not my go-to.
Right, right.
So that's why, you know, I got Lego. But in terms of something that, because I feel like I would love, there's a part of me that would love to still get some, like, get a cat of some sort.
You want a low commitment pet.
But I already have Lego, and I just feel like trying to get a cat and Lego to bond and to, like, also just kind of parent that household alone is kind of a big take.
You got to let it out to or give it a litter box, and no one likes litter boxes.
So I'm feeling like the next step would be just to kind of get, like, a fish.
Fish are great. And just watch him live in his own little world.
There's a certain type of fish I've been looking at because apparently they have really good vision. They can see outside of the aquarium and they're very playful. But apparently, like, the spotted puffer fish will get, like, 6 inches long. So have to get, like, a big tank.
Well, won't they stop growing if the tank isn't big enough?
I don't think that's how it works, is it?
I thought that, like, a fish will get as big as its tank, essentially. Obviously, it's not going to get fucking massive if you get a massive tank, but... I thought if you keep a goldfish, they just swim
around all fast, and they're fat, they're active.
Their faces are so funny.
They grow big ass teeth. Is it legal for me? Like, are they an exotic fish?
Well, I don't think that those laws apply to, like, fish.
Yeah,
because
could I have an octopus? JK, octopus would be
that'd be hard to take care of
because they'd slip. You know they can, like, you know how tiny of a crack they can squeeze their body through. They're escape artists.
They can open jars and shit.
They're geniuses.
Very smart. It's gonna get out and strangle you at night. It's gonna wrap its tentacles around you and just.
I'm just looking at the fish now. How do I get these?
I've always wanted an exotic fish tank, but that's just. I'd be too scared that I. You know, that's a hobby with a lot of knowledge and responsibility and work, and I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Yeah,
because it's just like. A saltwater tank would be so cool. That's what sucks is saltwater fish always look the coolest. It's like there's the biggest variety. They're so cool, but you got to one little mess up and the whole tank dies. So it's like.
I think it's just like funny though, like with fish in general, where they're a pet and you love them to some extent, not as much as I guess like a cat or dog, but you love them, and you care for them, and at the end of the day, you know they're not. It's not like you get an urn with their ashes. You literally put them in a bag and throw them in the trash.
I buried my fish when
you
died.
Buried your fish.
Yeah. I cried my eyes out. She died on my birthday, and I put her in a little box that I made. And I went out in the yard.
See,
and
that's
I dug
sweet.
A hole and I buried. I was very sad.
But I think a majority of people do not bury.
Oh, they
their
flush
fish.
Them. They flush them.
They shouldn't flush them. No. The thing was that you shouldn't flush like a live fish, because when Finding Nemo came out, kids thought it's like, hey, that's gonna send my fish to the ocean. But little do they know, there's like this,
goes straight to shit.
It doesn't only go straight to shit. There's like things in there which is gonna slice the fish up and kill it. It's gonna bounce it around, slash it up.
I mean, that's for poo-poo. That's not for living creatures.
No, exactly.
Like, how would you like to go down the toilet?
Hold on. I wonder if I still have a text. Hold on. I got to send you something. It's about a toilet flushing.
I'm very curious about when I flush my toilet, where it goes. Like, exactly, like, what order. I want to send a camera down and just see, like, where does it go? Like, does it go into a bigger pipe that then goes into a bigger pipe? Or, like, if anyone knows, I'm very curious about the, like, way neighborhood sewage systems work. Does it go into a tank that then gets emptied out into a sewer? Is the sewer actually for shit and stuff to go through, or is it for rain? I don't know. I've never known if the sewer is where shit goes from your toilet, or if that's just like where rainwater collects. I don't know. We got to start exploring the sewers.
I sent you a text.
All right, it hasn't come through just yet. Oh, there it is. Hold on, let's see what the text is. Holy shit.
What the fuck?
Right? What the fuck?
Explain to the people what you're witnessing.
Well, the caption is, Sandy is back in Bikini Bottom now. Sunglasses emoji. And it's somebody, it's a dead squirrel in a public toilet. And somebody flushes it and it just goes.
It goes straight down, dude.
That's going to clog that toilet. 100%.
You don't know.
How is that?
How do you know?
I keep watching it. It's just so, it's like Augustus Gloop when he gets sucked into the pipe. It just, I want to know why they had a dead squirrel in a public bathroom.
Oh.
Damn.
Just videos you find, you know? Well, I didn't find it. Justin found it.
That is.
But he sent it to me.
Liked by Frank JavC.
That makes sense. So maybe Frank sent it to Justin, or Justin sent it to Frank. Who knows?
What a fucking... Am I going to have to follow this page? I follow a lot of meme pages. Instagram's just memes for me now. And it's...
But some meme pages turn... That person then uses the clout they earned, and then they delete all the pictures, and then they make it a personal Instagram.
I also noticed...
And like, I'm like, I don't remember following this person, because I remember following like meme accounts. And all of a sudden I look and I'm like, oh, they just made it their personal Instagram now, I feel.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. But a lot of people, once they get like big meme pages, they'll start kind of selling them out, or like they'll start promoting shitty products, which I get it. It's a grind, but I just want to see my damn.
Capitalism.
I just want to see damn
That's
memes.
What it breeds.
You know what I'm saying?
You just want to what? What are you looking for?
I just want to see my damn memes when I go on Instagram. I don't want to see
spiritual
necklace that'll heal all of my ailments. I want to see some funny ghetto SpongeBob memes. Oh, man. Dude, quarantine's starting to hit me, man. It's very hard to find motivation to do anything. I just sleep all day. I can't find motivation to do anything.
Yeah, I think I've only, hold on. I think quarantine is getting to... It's getting to be personal.
Ew. I'm ready to start recording this podcast like prison visitation. where it's like a there's a pane of glass between us. So we're in different rooms, but we could see each other through the glass, and we have our microphones.
Okay.
So I don't ever have to worry about that shit reaching me.
I think this is the most I've farted in a Super Mega Cast episode.
I want to make sure I mark that microphone so we can remember that one is yours, and so I don't accidentally use it. Like, I don't want my lips accidentally touching that one day.
What are you, a pussy?
Yes, I am.
Little bitch boy.
Oh, man. I mean, they're good. They're excellent, like A-plus on those farts.
Thanks, man.
I'm loving it.
I just want to get it close to the mic because then you'll hear the detail.
And these are great mics.
Exactly. I can't be far away.
No, you got to get at least a fist away, you know?
Like, look at the difference here. Like, I'm talking, you know, hear the detail in my voice? But if I bring the mic up here, you can probably hear a little more detail. Maybe it sounds a little more, I don't know if it even sounds, it definitely sounds different.
Oh, it sounds better.
There's some more detail in there.
See,
but
if
you know.
If I'm this far from the mic and I go, you know, it sounds like that. Yeah. But if I'm up, much more
fake
crisp.
Fart, by the way. I don't want people thinking that was real.
No, that was a fake fart. That was with my mouth. I can't top Ryan's. Ryan's are a talent. Your laugh, your farts, all of your bodily functions. That don't involve liquid or quite full of talent.
My gift given to me by God is just the ability to make people laugh due to my bodily functions.
And we love it, man. You gotta step it up though.
Yeah.
Let's see some actual shit. Say like, watch this, and like pull your pants down, just blow shit on the table in the middle.
You already have that part of the duo.
Yeah, I guess that is more my talent.
You know, there's the funny farts, then there's the one who shits their pants.
Well, that's not as fun, you know, because you it just makes funny sound and then everyone laughs. For me, it's, oh, time to go change my fucking diaper like a little baby.
I can't believe how many times you've shit your pants.
I can't either. And it's
okay, I have a question. The Joe Rogan says he has shit his pants he would bet about 12 times in his life. Do you have Joe Rogan beat, or do you think Joe Rogan has you beat?
Oh, I got him.
As an adult, he says 12 times.
Yeah, I got him beat.
Really?
Definitely.
How many times would you estimate that you've shit your pants?
15.
Damn, okay. You're like, it's definitely more than 12.
It's
15.
More than 12.
Let's just say 15.
I wouldn't say it's more than 20.
Yeah.
But
it's going to get there. I'd say you're definitely going to hit 20 within the next 5 years.
Oh, next 5 years for sure. Not in the next year. Maybe I might hit like 16 or 17 before 2021, but... I'll keep, the thing is at this point I'm starting to forget when it happens. I should keep like a diary where I just kind of like when it happens, I'll just fill in a page and write about my experience and like the date. Yeah. And then I can really kind of keep track. Unfortunately, I lost the records of the first ones, but at least like moving forward, I can keep records of it.
Yeah.
Records did not exist before this date. I'll do that. And then robbers are going to come to my house. And
Rob? Like, who's Rob?
Dude from Robin Big, Rob Dyrdek. And then they're going to come in and be like, oh, shit, we found his diary, and open it up. It's going to be like me telling the tales of the times I've shit my pants. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't steal from this guy.
You should write a YouTuber book called When You Poo-Poo in Your Pants.
When You Poo-Poo
a Matt
in Your
Watson
Pants.
Story.
And then
Matt Watson memoir.
And then in the corner, I'll put the YouTube logo and be like, as seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, although YouTube.
Can it be the old YouTube logo?
Yeah. Or like 2006. We got to write our YouTuber book still.
We do.
We got to make it just like all those other YouTube books. Every time I'm Barnes & Noble, I make it a thing where I have to go check out the YouTuber section, which is always in like teen nonfiction, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that where they put them? Because, you know, all those YouTubers got books. Dan and Philip, Shane Dawson, they all have their books. And the books are, I don't think any of them are written by the actual people. I think they, can we just hire?
It doesn't matter. These people's books, like, are nothing to be added to, like, a great library. Like, if a civilization were to find their books, it would tell them nothing. It would just be.
I'd tell them a lot. It would just tell them,
this man like being popular.
I think that
maybe, I don't know, YouTube's such a big thing. Maybe it'd be like, damn, these people really cared about themselves this much. This man wrote a book about himself. What has he done?
If the Washington Library of Congress TikTok was burning down, I would run in and make sure that the books I save so humanity can see in the future were YouTuber books.
Yeah. All I know is that, like, do you find it weird, though, when talking about YouTube, that, like, the popular YouTuber, or, like, whoever's popular, it always comes down to, like, some sort of sexualization of, like, an underage star? Like, when you're talking, like, I'm thinking of Vine. You think of, what's his stupid-ass name? Little boy.
Jacob Sartorius.
Jacob Sartorius. He was very sexual.
He was super sexual.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you have people like Chris who's the popular TikTok artist? You know who I'm talking about?
Chris
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know
who
you're talking about. I don't know his last name.
She's 15. And she's like...
Oh, I thought it was a guy.
No.
I've just seen the name.
No,
so
but
I
like...
it was a guy.
Whatever her name is. Chris D'Angelo. I don't know what her name is. But she's 15, yeah. And she's the biggest she's like the most popular TikTok star or whatever. But like the song she dances to is like the songs will be like, "I'll be riding on your dick," and it's like, Jesus,
really?
Yeah, it's just like not exactly like that, but they're very sensual and they're very sexual in nature.
That is weird. They're like that shit always blows up, and it's like allowed to.
And it's not just like this era. Like you look back at fucking Britney Spears, right?
Yeah. Shirley Temple.
I mean, yes, 100%. But I just, if they're kids, why can't they become famous doing something like Ryan Toys toy reviews and being taken advantage of by your parents for monetary gain, for
example?
Yeah, why do they have to, why are parents going around telling their kids to
do it again. That wasn't sexy enough.
I know. That's how it comes across.
Sweetheart, you got to move your hips more.
Come on. You're 15, honey. You got to start showing all the strangers on the internet that you got a tummy that you can work with.
Sweetheart, I told you, you can only get a pad from the bathroom if you do the dance right and sexy enough.
Oh, fuck, man.
I'm down a fucked up.
I guess a part of it is also like I sound like a mad, deranged middle-aged man who doesn't understand the new world of entertainment.
This is us falling out of the this is us becoming like those adults that,
yeah,
are like,
I miss the times where I was 15 and I could sexualize myself on the internet.
Yeah, I miss that too, man. I miss
what happened to that. You know, now it's not fun. You and I are naked, you know, now that we're over 18. It's just not fun.
It's
fun boring
anymore, man.
Just knowing that I could get some old fuck in trouble if I went into a Walmart naked and he was glaring at my tush, dude.
You did that quite a lot, right?
Yeah, I'd strip down naked as a 10-year-old, and I tried to get people in trouble, be like, oh, he took my clothes off.
You'd be like, no! Wait. Here's what you got to do. Go into a Walmart and strip naked, because you know a lot of people...
First, I got to get a time machine, go back to when I was 10.
Which is probably the hardest part of this, but once you manage
that,
I'll help you with that. Go into a Walmart and then take your clothes off, and then, you know, some people leave their cars sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Like while they're going down an aisle,
yeah,
throw your clothes into it, and then when they come back, run up naked, and be like, "He took my clothes!" And then he's like, "What?" And then he sees them in his cart, and he'll try to throw them out, probably. So then his fingerprints will be on them.
Dude, if I was a little shit as a kid, I'd look for like, you know, parking lots that would have like unlocked car doors, and then I'd strip naked, I'd get in the car, and then I'd look out for parking lot security, and I'd start banging on the windows. Get that person sober. How are they going to explain the fact that there was a naked child in their car?
Because the thing is, once they're arrested and taken in question, they'll be like, "How did this naked child get started?" They'll be like, "I have no idea." That's what anyone would say, that as a naked child. Like, "I have no idea. I honestly..."
That's the first thing I would
no
say.
Idea.
That's what I would Your say. Honor, I don't know how that child got in there.
Oh, so you don't know how a child stripped naked and locked in your car?
He's probably doing it as a joke. Oh, so it's the child's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Like... You could end somebody by doing that.
Yeah. If I were 10 or 15.
Or if you have a young cousin, you could convince them to do it if you want to ruin somebody's life.
Hey, I know I'm 25 and you're my young 10-year-old cousin. I got a prank that would be hilarious. But first, send me a picture so I know you're serious about this prank.
No, I was just trying to do a prank with him. I wasn't doing anything weird. I fucking love it. Dude, we should find whatever company writes those YouTuber books for the YouTubers, like the real colorful ones, and we should just hire them to write one for us and just see how it comes out.
The Hallmark Channel?
Yeah.
Can we start writing for Hallmark?
Like the cards or the movies? Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
I'd love to write a Hallmark movie. Last night, once again, we were talking about our movie ideas, and you had some good ideas for some scenes. I don't want to spoil them, but
yeah,
good shit, my man.
I just want to create like a 40-minute fun little romp with you, and I think we're going to do that. It's going to have to wait till after the quarantine for us to even get started, and then I always think of like, oh, does that mean that then there's going to be less content on here, and then people will be like, oh, you're being assholes by not uploading our Let's Plays when you're focusing on something you want to do. I don't know. We'll have to see how people react. I get it, guys. I get it. Every time I do that voice and every time I say that, I know there's a lot of people getting upset with me. And I will lend... I'll give you guys this. Look, I can be an asshole and I can be unfair to some of you who are very, very nice and appreciative and respectful of Matt and I and Super Mega as a business. But sometimes I gotta ding dang rant, and you gotta flippin' deal with it, dog.
You gotta let the boy blow some steam off.
Exactly. My doctor said I'm not allowed to masturbate anymore due to the fact that
you don't have to get into it.
Yeah,
it's personal.
But I gotta let loose some steam.
Yeah.
So I gotta be mad at you guys for something.
You gotta be mad at it for a little bit, just a little bit. Yeah. I respect that. I respect that a lot. Ah, fuck. I got scabies all over my damn skin.
Seems like it. You got some bed bugs, my man?
I got horrible bed bugs.
You gotta send some bed bugs over my way?
I had a dream I had bed bugs the other night, and it was a nightmare. A
horrifying revelation that would be. And you've already had to have that revelation once.
Yeah, and ever since I had bed bugs once a long time ago, now it's like I constantly have dream nightmares with their back.
Yeah.
And Ew. Gross shit, man. Well, anyway, I guess that's about all the time we got for this week for this podcast.
Yeah, I'd say we just end it.
I say we just end it here.
Do you want to end it with music? Like, if you know, the usual, since we have, you know.
It's fading in right now.
Okay, good.
I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. You know?
All right, see you.
Is it fading?
Yeah, it's coming in.
Okay.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.